This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Dewey Phillips made history in the 1950s as one of the first white radio DJs to play music by black artists. He was opinionated, eclectic, and known for his manic on-air style.
Let's get ready. We're going to start off the first record here. Let's see now. Wait a minute here. We're going to play the first record for, for Demi, for Perry, for J.B., for Bernice, for Vera, and for Beulah, for Effie, for Oliver, for Silent May. We're going to play it for Bulldog. And the title is We're Going to Flat Dig the Boogie by Piano Red. Let's go, man. Oh, just set on it, boy. If you can't set on it, lay on it. Oh, anybody want to buy me?
Here we go. DJ Dewey Phillips on radio station WDIA in Memphis, Tennessee in the 1950s. Decades after his death, elements of Dewey's life and career were brought to the stage in a Tony Award-winning musical called Memphis. The production tells the story of Huey, a character closely based on Dewey, and his quest to help a club singer named Felicia get her big break. The production opens at Raleigh Little Theater tonight. It's going to be on stage through Sunday, September 4th, and we get a preview today. Joining me first is Patrick Torres. He's the artistic director of Raleigh Little Theater and the director of Memphis. Patrick, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
This musical, loosely based on that DJ we heard, DJ Dewey Phillips. Tell us more about Dewey.
Yeah, Dewey, he was a pioneer. I mean, he is largely credited in Memphis for being the first person to really integrate radio station music. And so he would play R&B music, blues music of the time. It's interesting how the play really parallels his life. It's loosely based, we say, because it's not a direct ratio. But Dewey started out in a department store. This happens also in the play. And he was managing the record department in a department store. It was a largely segregated store. And he started playing all the music that he loved of the time. And slowly, the customers started to mix, even though the store was very segregated. It's the music that brought them together. And so the play really chronicles his journey and the journey of bringing black music to the white mainstream media in Memphis.
But also known for maybe being the first to play Elvis Presley, right?
He was, yes. And actually, it's a funny little thing happens in the play. He was the first one to play Elvis's first song. It was Blue Men of Kentucky on the radio. And he interviewed Elvis, and he got Elvis to admit his race on the radio by asking him what high school he went to. So it was a little subversive thing because the schools were so segregated, he knew his audience would know immediately that Elvis was white.
But the point was, up until then, this was a question, and then whole questions of appropriation and all of that follow. But
absolutely,
this is kind of an amazing moment in history when it wasn't clear. The ambiguity was part of the success of
absolutely
Elvis. An amazing moment. So now tell us, you say it's loosely based. So tell us about the premise of this musical.
The premise of this musical is that you have Huey, who is this white man who is in love with the R&B music that's being produced in the city. And he takes it on himself. He's like, I'm going to make this popular. I'm going to get this music on the radio. He walks into an African-American club in the beginning, which feels a little dangerous to the folks that occupy that club. And he says, I'm going to do these things. And they don't trust him. And then Huey, he just puts things into action. And he starts to do these things. And he starts to create community. And I think one of the great things that we love about the play is that it just really – It centers art as a way to bring people together, especially with music. And we're hoping that the musical does that with our audiences as well.
We have a studio full of artists today, and among them, Zach Kaska and Aya Wallace. Zach plays Huey in the production. Aya plays Felicia. And I want to welcome both of you to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Zach, I want you both to do a scene, but tell us a little bit about what it's like to play Huey and what you learned about the guy, because he's utterly manic.
He is. The stage directions in the script when he first enters, it says he's an eccentric man that comes into the club, which that right there just really stuck out to me. I mean, that's how he is. And he's one of those people who shoots first and doesn't worry about it until after he's got to, oh, okay, this is what happened. So now I got to work with it and clean it up a little bit. So he really is just a go-getter, and he does it, and he doesn't even think about it.
Well, I want to play a clip because you're here today, and you're going to do a little bit of the performance for us. But to give you a sense of what it's like in full production, we're going to play a little bit of a clip right now from the show. Let's listen.
Get cotton picking jacket. Where'd you get that at, Madden Lansky's?
That's a good plug. We all have free customers.
I bought this jacket in New York City.
In New York City. Right. Yeah, I understand you've been uptown about as far as you can get. You've been around that cyclone, ain't but a stone.
I've been trying it.
You know what a, you know what a cyclone is? That thing when Jerry Lee gets to New York, he's got to hit that honeycomb island out there, you know. Gets on this cotton picking thing, and just goes up and down, man, up and down. I understand Hold On a Shaking sold about $1,500,000. Is that right?
I believe so.
That's, you know, that's, you know what's great. Been wearing me here for the last 3 or 4 weeks? What the heck you don't get me for Christmas?
Well, I haven't thought too much about it, Mr. Phillips, but you can't ever tell what a rival will come up with.
Well, what have you been hearing about this great Balls of Fire record all over the country? Been hearing a lot about it?
Well, it seems to be moving along pretty good.
I understand it's breaking all over the country. But right now, good people know Jerry D. Lewis. He's been on Steve Allen's show. He's been on Dick Clark's show. But right now, he's on one of the hottest cotton-picking shows in the country. Let's serve the Dewey Phillips Show.
You will not hear that on stage at the Raleigh Little Theater as part of the production of Memphis. That was, in fact, a clip from an interview with Dewey Phillips and Jerry Lee Lewis. Mm-hmm. So you hear him right in the middle. I mean, Great Balls of Fire was sort of on its way, and he'd already had some success. But again, there you get a sense of this manic personality where he doesn't let Jerry Lee. Jerry Lee Lewis seems like the straight man.
It's crazy because he's like overshadowing with all the crazy, and Jerry Lee Lewis. It was like, okay, yeah. It's almost like put off by it.
Well, Ed, there's an interracial relationship in here, and I wonder what it's like to try to play that and imagine what that's like, because times have changed somewhat, and unfortunately not enough, but to some extent, some of the dynamics that would have been in play in the 50s may not be as true today. What's it like for you to get in character for this role?
Felicia is a very confident character, and I think that what I have to bring that to this relationship. And, you know, as a person that's of color and on the stage at the same time, I look at Huey. Felicia looks at Huey. Aya looks at Zach. But I think internally, a person that loves someone of a different color, you just see the love and that's what you put out. So that's what I bring to the stage, is just that love, that natural love that comes out from their interaction and both their love for music.
I wonder if I can get you to do a song for us and get a sample of that love for music and each other in this. And maybe, Zach, you can set up this next song for us.
Yeah, so this song is called The Music of My Soul. And what it is, it's the first time that Huey kind of enters in this club, this sanctuary that they have, that the African-American community has made for themselves. And so he comes in and he threatens it right away. And this is kind of his way of trying to diffuse it, be like, no, you don't understand. I love this music, too, just as much as you guys do. When I was a young boy, my daddy shut me down. He said, son, don't you never go to the dark side of town. See, I'm talking downtown Memphis. See, that's where the black folk play. And I said, yes, sir, daddy. And then I snuck down anyway. She never was taught to read none. No, never taught to write. The only thing my daddy taught was white should stay with white. But I heard it through the alleys. It floated on the breeze. It burst out through the doorways. And it knocked me to my knees. It broke down all my senses. It made me feel so. See, I was lost until I found the music of my soul. The music of my soul. But then one day, my daddy died. And we laid him in his grave. And my mama, she cried and cried and cried and prayed that he'd be saved. But all I felt was pity, for he never understood. How could people be so bad that made me feel so good? It whipped right through my body, it grabbed me by my heart. Shot up from my fingertips and tore me right apart.
it broke down all my senses. It made me feel so, and I'ma love it till the day I die. The music of my soul. It broke down all my senses. It made me feel so. See, I was lost until I found. I was deaf until I heard. I'll make this world come around to the music of my soul. The music of my soul.
And that you will hear on stage at the Raleigh Little Theater. That's Zach Kaska and A.O. Wallace performing the song Music of My Soul from the musical Memphis. Production opens at Raleigh Little Theater tonight, on stage through Sunday, September 4th. What a great song, great music, and certainly fabulous performers. And joining us now to talk about another element in this play, the choreography, is L.D. Burris. L.D., welcome back to the program.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Not only is there great music, there is dance.
There is dance.
Tell us a bit about your process for choreographing this play.
Well, I start with, certainly I have a 35, 40-year dance career. I think that my work with Chuck Davis, choreographers like Tally Beatty, Donald McHale, and the classes and the experience I have in African, African-American jazz, music, and dance informs what I'm doing. And I start the process by creating a vocabulary that speaks to the music and the dance and these fabulous singers and performers. I take what they have. I've used YouTube videos to research more of sort of the dances of the white dancers. And I, you know, use that to bring it to life.
Well, let me ask you that. Forgive me for interrupting. But what dance moves were popular at the time, and what were you looking at?
Yeah, at the time there was Lindy. There wasn't as much solo dancing. People often did more group dancing. And so I used influences of Lindy Hop, East Coast Swing, and used that to create a dance vocabulary. There is some, I have certainly taken artistic license to create some large group numbers that, you know, rely on some African traditions as well as my own unique blend of African modern and jazz dance.
Well, Aya, I want to ask you another question again about playing this role, because you talked about this notion that love conquers all, music brings us together. But there were certainly very strict social norms that as an actress and certainly a character like Felicia in that time would have had to navigate. How do you incorporate that, and sort of how does that play into your role and Felicia's role in this story?
So it's very interesting. When we first started rehearsals, I had that same idea of Felicia's going to be a person that respects the norm. She's going to be the person that respects the law. And, you know, it's going to be a wall that's going to keep her from getting to where she wants to be. But it's so interesting, and I love it, that our director, Patrick, he's like, I want her to be a confident woman. And that, I think, is very important for us to see an African-American woman who sees these laws as something that is holding her back, and she's going to keep pushing forward and going through it, even for the love of a man that's not of her color. She's going to keep pushing forward and going against the norm. She has one moment where it scares her, and she wants to get away from that. And I think that's natural for us as a people to fight the norm, but then also be like, okay, I need a moment to have a peaceful time and be okay.
You're going to do a song for us now, and I wonder if you can set it up for us.
Oh, Love Will Stand. That's an awesome song, and I believe it's true to our heart. We believe that it's a very relevant song for today, because there's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of difficulty. There's a lot of backlash and a lot of darkness that we have to deal with. But we have to understand that love will stand when all of that crumbles and when all that falls. We have to look to each other for love, and that stands.
Mm-hmm. The sun is sinking and time's got me thinking, as we grow old, will our love stay strong or will it disappear? Tomorrow unknown, but today is our own. So take my hand, hold on with no fear, 'cause baby, I'm here. I will see you through. I'll be there for you. We will endure what life has in store. Have faith and believe, like the air that you breathe. Love will stand when all else falls. Love will stand when all else falls.
That is Aya Wallace performing the song from the musical Memphis. The song is called Love Will Stand. The production opens at the Raleigh Little Theater tonight, on stage through Sunday, September 4th. We've got the details at our website, stateofthings.org. L.D. Burris, a choreographer for this, there are some interesting parallels between what was happening musically in Memphis and in Durham at that time, aren't there?
Yes, there were. Frank, I mean, a lot of the music that was happening in Memphis, especially with the migration of blues musicians that were traveling from the Mississippi Delta area in Alabama, were coming through Durham and performing outside of the tobacco warehouses, yeah, where people were manufacturing tobacco and cigarettes, and they would come out and have their hat and they play music on the streets. And
yeah, I mean, the Reverend Gary Davis is here, and yes, a number of other great performers, who then went on to have careers. Well, Patrick, let me ask you a little bit about this, because you're putting this play on, which has, you know, got a historical backdrop, but against a contemporary backdrop that was very troubling here in the United States. What's that like in rehearsals? What's that like putting this play together?
I mean, we'd spend a good amount of time talking about just the fear that existed. Like, a white man walking into this club is a threatening for that community. This community, the musical starts with this great song called Underground, where they're the community of African-American folks that have gathered are saying, this is the place where we can come and just be us, where the society around us doesn't have to really, like, we don't have those rules here. And then he walks in and brings all those rules in with him. And so we talked a lot about the danger. And throughout the play, you know, one of the things that I think is so interesting about this musical is there's not a clear antagonist in the musical. And what's great about that is that what you start to realize is it's the world surrounding everywhere they are that is the antagonist. And that's what pushes this play, yeah, into its final, you know, without giving anything away, into where it resolves itself, is the world around them, what they were trying to do.
I mean, when the social norm is the antagonist, then we have to examine our own complicity in supporting norms that are absolutely antithetical to
absolutely
our beliefs.
And I think one of the great things that the musical does, like even in the research for this play, you read all about Dewey Phillips, but you don't read about how what he was doing affected the artists. And so what they fictionalized here is like, okay, he's doing this thing that seems great, but what's the effect on the artist who produced that music? The play calls into question this idea of ownership. Who owns the music?
That is Patrick Torres. He is the artistic director of the Raleigh Little Theater and director of the production Memphis. Also with us is the production's choreographer, L.D. Burris, and actors Aya Wallace and Zach Kaska. I want to thank all of you for being on the program today. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Memphis opens at Raleigh Little Theater tonight, 8 o'clock. It's on stage through Sunday, September 4th, and we have the details at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the music of Americana group Yarn. Please stay with us.